This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Jay Michaels, Rush Munair from Quibi. Ryan Doyle is off this week. And if you follow myself and Ryan Doyle on Twitter, either at Jay Michaels, either at Jay on the Rush TO or at Ryan Doyle's show, you'll know that Ryan spent a good portion of today watching The Price is Right. Because he was tweeting about it. And I had to basically say, if you ever wondered how your radio friends spent their lux time, their big salaried shows, how they spend their vacations, they're watching The Price is Right.
And missed by so many.
Yes, and missed by so many. The Ford government today saying they'll be phasing out of streaming, and it'll begin September 2021. Starts with grade 9 math courses. Teachers unions and advocates of the change have said while they approve of ending streaming, they want to know more about what kinds of supports will be available for both students and for teachers. Your Ontario government today also introducing a bill banning the suspension of students in junior kindergarten all the way up until grade 3. A couple of different things happened at the presser today that I thought was quite interesting. The Education Minister, Stephen Lecce, Reshmi, asked a couple of different times by our own Lucas Meyer, as well as by other reporters, you know, should parents of kids that will have their kids going back to school in the fall, should they be talking to their employers right now about making accommodations? And the Education Minister not necessarily giving a straight answer and pivoting back and forth each time really to the fact that the Ontario government is hopefully going to have a five-day-a-week model. I guess that remains to be seen how that will roll out in the fall. We'll talk more about that. One of the guys that I really thought shone today was Jamil Giovanni, Government of Ontario's advocate for community opportunities. And he spoke to his own experience with streaming within the education system. You might know Jamil from News Talk 1010, where he did a great job over the weekend. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Yeah, thanks for having me. And I also think Price is Right is an entertaining show, so I can empathize with watching it on your time off.
Who doesn't love a good Thursday edition of Plinko?
Well, come on down and join us for this conversation, Jamil. For our listeners, you know, who think what's so bad about applied learning, you know, when we talk about streaming, can you give us an idea of what you lived through and how it impacted your life?
Well, the biggest problem with how we've been doing streaming is that we're doing it too young. So instead of it being an opportunity to specialize, which I think is a good thing, it's good for kids when they're maybe in grade 11, grade 12, to start specializing based on what they think they might want to do after they graduate from high school. When you're doing it to 13 and 14-year-olds, they're really not in a position to make a decision that's going to affect the rest of their lives. And a student like me, you know, I was put streamed, and it limited my post-secondary options upon graduation. Now, I was not a good student, and I certainly don't want to pretend that everyone should have seen my potential when I was 13 or 14. The problem is when you don't see my potential and then you hold it against me and you judge me based on who I am at that age, I think that's the problem that we have. The other issue too is it winds up stigmatizing the trades, right? Like the trades are a phenomenal opportunity for young people right now. And when we make a lot of kids believe that the reason you go into trade school is because you weren't good enough at math, that's not the message we should be sending to our young people either.
So when you talk about, sorry, go ahead, Rashmi.
Well, I was going to just ask, you know, when you, in hindsight, right, because it's hindsight, how should the education system have treated you and other students who may have been put down the wrong path?
Well, I think the first thing you want to signal to students is, you know, the school system, the teachers, adults in your life, they're not giving up on you. So if you aren't your best self at 13 or 14 years old, we want to give you as much time as we possibly can to grow into your best self. And maybe you won't do that by the time you're 16, 17, 18 years old, but I think giving people time and making sure they know that we believe in their potential as young people, that's the message that I didn't receive as a kid, and I think that's the message that a lot of young people are unfortunately not receiving.
Now, Jamila, is this one of these experiences that you look back, you know, in retrospect and say, oh, that's obviously what was going on? Or is it one of those experiences where you and your peer group and friends, when you were going through it, did you realize what was going on, that you weren't necessarily getting, you know, the service you should get from your education system at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, myself and my peer group, I think the biggest challenge we had was just feeling like a lot of us weren't connecting with people in the school, whether that was our teacher or the principals, the adults who were interacting with, who were not finding a connection with. And I think a big part of that is because we didn't feel good about ourselves when we were in those classrooms. Like, you go in there and you feel behind and you feel dumb and you feel like no one thinks good things about you and you're getting into trouble. And so it's no surprise then that you wind up seeing in, you know, peer groups like I had growing up, a lot of people dropping out or a lot of people finishing high school with very low grades and little options. It's just you don't feel like school is the place where you're going to get an opportunity to better your life. And that's the exact opposite, I think, of what we're supposed to be doing. And our hope is that, you know, if we can reform the way we do streaming, if we can reform the way we punish kids, especially young kids, through suspensions, that we can start to send more of a message of like, no, this is your home. Your school is part of your neighborhood. And, you know, not that everything's going to be perfect, but we're going to hold on to you and encourage you and embrace you as long as we can in hopes that you're going to find your way.
Yeah, part of it in part of this legislation now are getting rid of streaming. It also includes getting rid of suspensions, right, for elementary students. Some people messaging into the message board here, Giovanni, saying that's not a good thing. Kids who are hitting and spitting and biting, even in kindergarten, grade 1, 2, or 3, they should be suspended for that kind of behavior.
Well, look, there's a distinction between discretionary and mandatory suspensions. If a kid does something violent or criminal, regardless of his or her age, then they will still be suspended. We don't have separate laws in schools. But the discretionary suspensions are the kinds of things that are a large portion of the suspension, and they often are not even recorded with a cause or a reason. So we can't even look into the record books and know why did that happen, which is where you wind up with accusations of bias and prejudice, because no one actually has an official record to explain why we have so many kids from one community or one kind of neighborhood being suspended more than kids in another neighborhood. So what we're trying to do here is say, look, below a certain age, unless someone's doing something violent, there's no reason to say we can't accommodate this young person in a school. Maybe that means they do an in-school detention, or they wind up having to learn classes for a few days on their own to deal with their behavioral issues. That's all an option. But if you can pick a kid up and hug a kid, that's not a kid you should have to kick out of your school. I mean, that's my belief on it. And I'm sure there are people who disagree, but we're not giving up on those kids. These are small children. And if you really look at a kindergartner and think that kid needs to be sent home and we can't work with that kid, I mean, that's a failure of the school system. The school system is supposed to be able to work with young kids. That's what we're here for, and we need to get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so suspensions as an extreme punishment. Would you consider streaming that applied learning course punishment as well?
I think it's punishment when you say to a 13-year-old, make a decision about what kind of math you think you're good at for the rest of your life. That feels punitive, especially because it's putting a really big decision on the shoulders of a lot of children who are not in a position to think about their future yet. And it feels like punishment then when you go into an applied math class in grade 9 and it feels like you're in a second-tier learning opportunity. What we want to do is let people enter high school, see what high school is like, figure out maybe you're better in high school than you were in middle school. Maybe you have better friends. Maybe you're in a different kind of environment. Give them the chance to adjust before we make them feel like we're holding down their futures and making them feel like they're being judged forever based on what they might have done when they were in grade 7 or grade 8.
Jamil, we have about a minute left. I just want to ask you, in your role as the advocate for community opportunities, inside of a pandemic, has that changed the way you view your role, or is it really sort of hyper-focused what it is that you want to do?
Well, it changed my role insofar as I think it's put a lot more of an emphasis on economics and job creation than we may have had otherwise. That's a big part of what I've been working on, and there'll be more we're going to announce later this month about that sort of stuff. But on things like these education issues, I mean, these are things we've been working on. And I think one of the things we learned from the murder of George Floyd and the uprising that occurred around racial inequality afterwards is that even during a pandemic, people want to live in a fair society. And that's what I'm trying to balance, both the pandemic issues we need to deal with and also the reality that there are longstanding inequalities that we need to address as well.
Jamil Giovanni is the Government of Ontario's advocate for community opportunities. It was great watching you speak today, and nice talking with you this afternoon. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
So much to come. The latest update on absolutely everything happening in your world as far as we are concerned. That's the buzzword today. If it's a drinking game, when every time you hear the word we today, do us a favor, stay in the backyard. So much more when the rush continues.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.